the lord of the highest auspiciousness, swims in the ocean of nectar. For him, what is the use of the water in small ditches? Purport. Dhritarashtra has formerly prayed, 6th canto, 11th chapter, text 25. Na na kaprishtam na cha paramesham na sarvabhaumam na rasadhipatyam. I do not want the facilities for happiness on Brahmaloka, Swargaloka, or even Dhruvaloka, not to speak of this earth or the lower planets. I simply want to return home back to Godhead. This is the determination of a pure devotee. A pure devotee is never attracted to any exalted position within this material world. He simply wants to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, like the inhabitants of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, the gopis, Krishna's father and mother, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, Krishna's friends and Krishna's servants. He wants to associate with Krishna's atmosphere of Vrindavan's beauty. These are the highest ambitions of a devotee of Krishna. Devotees of Lord Vishnu may aspire for a position in Vaikuntha Loka, but a devotee of Krishna never aspires even for the facilities of Vaikuntha. He wants to return to Goloka Vrindavan and associate with Lord Krishna in his eternal pastimes. Any material happiness is like water in a ditch, whereas the spiritual happiness eternally enjoyed in the spiritual world is like an ocean of nectar in which a devotee wants to swim.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yasya Bhaktir Bhagavati Harau Nishreshaishvare Vikriditam Ritam Bhodhau Krim Shujai Katako Dakai. So, this is not translation because I'm only reading the Sanskrit. So what's going on? Huh? You must be pretty far behind because I'm only reading. What are you translating into Hindi? What are you translating into Hindi? Translation was already 5 minutes ago. What are you why are you translating it again? Didn't you translate it the first time I read it? You didn't? Huh? Some boys came late. Then they missed the translation. Okay. Yasya Bhaktir Bhagavati. Yeah, if they come late, then they, you know, otherwise it's already distracting that there's something else being said while you're speaking. But then if, you know, at least keep it to, if you have to do it again and again, then just translate it once. Pardon me for being in a nasty mood. While I'm at it, whoever owns the horror show here can retrieve their filthy belongings and wash them. Thank you. are not on display, but can be seen. That's not bad. Okay. See, it's constitutionally brown. That's all right. Nishya Bhakti Bhagavati Haro Nishya Seshwaram Vikriditam Ritam Bodho Kim Shujai Katakodakai. Hello? Hello, hello? Next door? Special Saturday mood. I know it takes a lot of talk to roll a chapati. You have to speak to it and ask it, please become flat. Still bother my key to hear, by the way. This verse is similar in content to a verse in Bhagavad Gita. Yavanartu udapane sarvata samputodike tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanata. Whatever you might get, from a small well, Udapane, Sarvata Samputodike, you can get all of that from a large reservoir of water. Just like sometimes in the villages, there's one tap or one well for washing, and there's another for bathing, and there's another for drinking water. Different wells. But if there's a river, then you can do everything. You get your drinking water, you can wash your cloth, you can take your bath, you can do everything. Because it's big. So whatever benefit one might get from studying the Vedas, one can get so much more if one actually understands the meaning of the Vedas, or if one is a self-realized person, brahmanasya vijanata. Prabhupada comments, the rituals and sacrifices mentioned in the Karmakanda division of the Vedic literature are meant to encourage gradual development of self-realization. And the purpose of self-realization is clearly stated in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of studying the Vedas is to know Lord Krishna, the primeval cause of everything. So self-realization means understanding Krishna and one's eternal relationship with him. The relationship of the living entities with Krishna is also mentioned in the 15th chapter. The living entities are parts and parcels of Krishna. Therefore, revival of Krishna consciousness by the individual living entity is the highest perfectional stage of Vedic knowledge. The Nishraya Seshwari means the controller of that highest stage of Vedic knowledge, or the controller of the perfection of life, the controller of supreme liberation. Muktirithanyata rupam sarupena vivastati. Real liberation means to be free from this false form, this bodily identification. And sarupena vivastati, to be situated in one's real form, one's eternal constitutional position. Jivar sarupai krishna nityadas, the real position of the living being, is that he's the eternal servant of Krishna. And realization of that Krishna relationship and perfection is called Shroop Siddhi. When one realizes that I'm Krishna's servant, and in the perfectional stage one can enter into the abode of Krishna and render devotional service in one of five different relationships as Krishna's servant, as Krishna's friend, Krishna's parent, Krishna's conjugal lover. These different relationships are there. So this is the real purpose. Brahmanasya vijanatam. Brahmanasya means Brahmanasya vijanatam means realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comments that wherever you see in Shastra this word Brahman, the meaning is Krishna. Because Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram, the Krishna is confirmed by Arjuna to be Param Brahma. So wherever this word is found, Brahman, it means Krishna. So Brahmanasya Vijanata means transcendental realization of Krishna. And that's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaishcha Sarvar Ahameva Veda. The purpose of all the Vedas is to understand Krishna. That's the purpose. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, as follows. Aho bhaktasra pacha Aho bhaktasra pacha to vidiyam yaj jiva grevar tate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhu sasraya pramanuchur namagunanti yete. Hey, why is it just because today is Saturday that everybody has to talk loud no matter what service they're doing and regardless of what else might be going on? Are they also translating behind the altar so that we'll get the benefit of understanding what's going on today? It's like everyone's in his own world and nothing else is going on. The chapatis can be rolled silently, the deities can be worshipped quietly. Everything can be done without having to be under the illusion that what you're doing is the only thing in the world. My Lord, a person who's chanting your holy name, although born of a low family like that of a chandala, dog-eared, is situated on the highest platform of self-realization. Such a person must have performed all kinds of penances and sacrifices according to Vedic rituals and studied the Vedic literatures many, many times after taking his bath in all the holy places of pilgrimage. Such a person is considered the best of the Aryan family. So one must be intelligent enough to understand the purpose of the Vedas without being attached to the rituals only, and must not desire to be elevated to the heavenly kingdoms for a better quality of sense gratification. It is not possible for the common man in this age to follow all the rules and regulations of the Vedic rituals, nor is it possible to study all the Vedanta and the Upanishads thoroughly. It requires much time, energy, knowledge, and resources. To execute the purposes of the Vedas, this is hardly possible in this age. The best purpose of Vedic culture is served, however, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya, the deliverer of all fallen souls. When Lord Chaitanya was asked by a great Vedic scholar, Prakashananda Saraswati, why he, the Lord, was chanting the holy name of the Lord like a sentimentalist, instead of studying Vedanta philosophy, the Lord replied that his spiritual master had found him a great fool and thus asked him to chant the holy name of Lord Krishna. He did so and became ecstatic like a madman. In this age of Kali, most of the population is foolish and not adequately educated to understand Vedanta philosophy. The best purpose of Vedanta philosophy is served by inoffensively chanting the holy name of the Lord. Vedanta is the last word in Vedic wisdom, and the author and knower of the Vedanta philosophy is Lord Krishna. And the highest Vedantist is the great soul who takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is the ultimate purpose of all Vedic mysticism. So, Tavan Sarveshu Vedeshu Brahmana Sivajanata. The Vedas
are Trigunya Vishaya Veda. They're full of rituals and sacrifices and ceremonies meant for advancement in this world under the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature. But the illusioned men, or childish men, think that this is the whole show, the whole purpose. Yam imam pushpitam vacham prabhavanti avipaschitaha. Veda-vadarata parthananyudasti-tibhanina. They can quote Vedic slokas, and they can give so many learned discourses on the Vedas, but they're avipaschitaha. Their knowledge is immature, childish. They're attracted by flowery descriptions of the heavenly planets and pious worlds, and they want to go there. So they're only speaking the language of the Vedas, but they don't understand the purpose of the Vedas. Just as we find these days also, if so many people can do folio searches and say, Prabhupada said, and not understand at all what Prabhupada is saying, and get it all wrong. They have their quote, they have their two words, four words, or two sentences, four sentences, but because they haven't properly followed the process, or for one reason or another, they haven't actually understood what Prabhupada is teaching. All they have is a string of quotes that they put together with some sticky tape and a little bit of bad logic, and they come up with some concocted idea. So one actually has to understand what the spiritual master is saying, what Krishna is saying, what the acharyas are saying, by submissively following and by practical application in life, and not try to twist things around for one's sense gratification, or select out those portions that appeal to one for material advancement or material indulgence. One should actually understand the ultimate purpose and surrender to Krishna and engage in pure devotional service to Krishna. Jnana karma adhyanavritam, without any mental speculation and without any ulterior motive for sense gratification. Anya abhilashita shunya, all other business should be made zero. Arna kriya maniyash, what is that? Guru mukha padma bhakya chite te kriyaikya. Arna kriya maniyasha. One should aim at having the same purpose as the spiritual master, which is the same purpose as the entire disciplic succession, which is to free the living entity from his false lordship over this material world and engage him in the service of the real Lord of all the worlds, Krishna. It's to pull him out of this poisonous material existence and enable him to play in the ocean of nectar in the spiritual world. Kim Kshudrai Katakodakai. This material world is a ditch. Ditches of water. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while speaking to Raghunath Das Goswami, said to him, because Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a very wealthy family, his father and uncle were big jamindars and very fabulously wealthy. And they were also devotees. But they were not pure devotees. They were very charitable. They would invite the Vaishnavas and do so many things. But they were attached to sense gratification. And that's why they wanted Raghunath Das Goswami to be stuck in householder life, with a beautiful life and performing so many prescribed duties, and they were completely averse to the idea that Raghunath Das might just give up everything and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan movement. Otherwise they would have been happy. And yes, our son, our nephew wants to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were happy. Yes, he's a devotee, he's engaged in devotional service, but why can't you execute devotional service at home? Why do you have to go someplace else? Why do you have to undergo all these renunciation and this and that? Stay home, stay home. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das that, don't mind, if I speak something about your father and uncle, what is that? They're like worms in a ditch of stool. The worm is happy in stool, and if you pick him up and put him in a nice clean place, he'll think, what is this? And he'll crawl back to his nice warm stool. for being happy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu criticized a little strongly that your father and uncle are like those worms in the stool, simply attached to sense gratification. So one should not be like that. One should actually become completely free from sense gratification. Not simply that I'm a devotee and being a devotee enhances my life in this material world. In the beginning we may encourage someone that your life will be enhanced by chanting Hare Krishna. Your mind will be peaceful. So that's also true, but that's not the ultimate point of devotional service or the ultimate point of chanting Hare Krishna. If we think that this is the ultimate point, then it's that aparad to think that the chanting of Hare Krishna is on the same level as the pious activities recommended in the Vedas. Because by those pious activities you can become happy, you can become peaceful, you can become freed from sinful reactions, you can go to the higher planets and enjoy, you can become a demigod, you can get mystic powers, you can do so many things by those Vedic rituals. But chanting of Hare Krishna, even liberation is not the real benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. Again, there was some discussion in the house of Raghunath Das's family, to which Haridas Thakur was invited. And in relation to discussion, because it was known that Haridas Thakur was chanting so many holy names of the Lord, so people began praising the holy name of the Lord. And someone said, it's so great that it's as good as 10,000 Ashwamedha Yajnas. Someone said, so great, by chanting Hare Krishna you can go to the heavenly planets quickly. Someone said, so great that you can get liberation. And Haridas Thakur said, this is all terrible what you're speaking. That this is not the purpose of chanting Hare Krishna. Even liberation is just a byproduct of chanting. That's not the point. The real purpose is prema pumartha mahan, pure love of Krishna. That's the real benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. And liberation is just a byproduct. It's just included. Bilamangal Thakur also says that since I've become a devotee of Krishna, liberation is falling at my feet, saying, please take me, please take me, please take me. So a devotee doesn't separately have to try for liberation even. And that's also in Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshu, Yajneshu, Tapasu Chayava, Daneshu, Yat Punyapalam Pradishta, Adyeti Tat Sarvamidam Viditva, Yogi Paramsthanam Upaiti Chaja. Whatever you might get from the Vedas, from Yajnas, Vedeshu, Yajneshu, from Tapasya, from Dan, charity, whatever punya phala, whatever pious result you might get from those things, adyeti, one surpasses. Adyeti yat, what is that? Yat sarvamidam viditva. One goes beyond all that. Yogi paramsthanam upayati chajan. The devotee of the Lord attains paramsthanam, the supreme abode of the Lord. Mamupetya punarjanma dukkhalayam shashvatam. Napnuvanti mahatmana sansidhim paramam gata. So if one compares the chanting of the holy name to the ritualistic activities of the Vedas or the pious acts recommended in the Vedas, then he's comparing the ocean to a ditch. He's comparing the ocean to a ditch. Because kshudra, in the ditch, there's just a little bit of water. But in the ocean, there's unlimited, so much. So these benefits from Yajna, Dana, Tapa, and so on, they're Trigunya. They're within the three modes of nature. But this Trigunya, the holy name of the Lord, is transcendental. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta Vinata Nama Namino. There's no difference between Krishna, the holy name of the Lord, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by chanting Hare Krishna, one is associating with Krishna. And by chanting inoffensively, one comes to realize Krishna's presence. And then he can be kridita. He can play and swim in the ocean of nectar. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes. Raji. One second.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, in the beginning of the class, you
gave everyone a hard time.
You read Guru Puranati and all that. So yesterday and day before in Janu Mataji's house also you told that we are not supposed to repeat it with you.
I didn't say that.
Means we are not we should do it quietly.
I didn't say that either.
What was that, Maharaj? I want to understand it.
Don't race ahead of me.
Okay.
I don't mind if you also want to chant. I'm chanting. It's my duty to chant. Offer obeisances before speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. And if you want to chant, that's very nice. But if you want to chant ahead of me, then I, you know, it's not so nice.
That is the real etiquette. I just wanted to know.
That's the point. That was my point. Okay. At least from my personal point of view, I find it disturbing, you know. I start out and then I have to catch up with you. So why should it be like that?
And another thing, Maharaj, may I please ask, the tune speaker take for reading the shloka of Bhagavatam, and when we are supposed to speak, if we change the tune, is it right, or it is also known the etiquette?
I've never seen anything in Shastra about it. I personally find it disturbing. You start with one tune, and then the next person chants the same tune. Then the second person decides that that tune is no good, he's going to chant an entirely different tune. Third person can't figure out, he's lost now, he doesn't know what the original tune was anymore. And he's not going to follow the second person and chant his tune. So he's someplace in the middle. And by the time you get to the seventh person, everything is in total disarray. So what's wrong with following the person who started? That's just a personal prejudice that I have. I can't give you anything from Vaishnava etiquette or you know, Vedas or Upanishads or Nectar of Devotion. But I personally find it a little disruptive. If the tune is too low, go up an octave or something like that. It may not be so bad.
Thank you very much, Master.
Thank you.
Now this shloka explains about Guru Vrindavan, as I mentioned in the purport. So we also see that the Krishna Lok, Guru Vrindavan, has three sections. There's Krishna Lok, Krishna's Dham, there's Vrindavan, Dwarka, and also Navadvip.
Hastinapur, Dwarka, and Vrindavan, actually.
And but in the Bhagavatam cover, we see that
Bhagavatam cover, they show someplace.
Yeah, and that lotus, if you see, on one side is Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. It's only in the first canto.
Right.
In the center is Radharani and Krishna, and on one side there is Krishna with, you know, the queens of Dwarka. So my question was that when we speak of Dwarka, we see that Krishna is worshipped in all awe and reverence and in so much of opulence. So these five rasas exist in Dwarka also, because when we speak of Goloka Vrindavan.
Yes, they're there. Krishna has, of course, servants in Dwarka, and his friends are there, sometimes like Arjuna and so on, or Uddhava, who's an intimate friend of Krishna, is there in Dwarka. His superior parental relatives are all, just like Maharaj Ugrasena is there, who's Krishna's grandfather. And queens are there, they're in conjugal relationship. So they're all there. But generally when we speak of Goloka Vrindavan, we mean particularly that Vrindavan section. Otherwise, when it's described, when Goloka Vrindavan is described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's described that it extends everywhere. So the entire material and spiritual world is someplace. Even this material world is not beyond the jurisdiction of Goloka Vrindavan, but it's covered. That's another subject matter. But isn't the description is like those who've read Chaitanya Charitamrita? Goloka Vrindavan is described like an all-pervading. That means there's no place where Goloka Vrindavan isn't. But it's a question, it's like Krishna is all-pervading. So since he's all-pervading, his dharma is also all-pervading. But it's covered from our vision.
And one more question comes to the mind, Mahadev. Is there also, and Prabhupada, has he explained in his books, or is it mentioned in any of the shastras by our Gaudiya Acharyas, that our Swarup Siddhi may also be in Navadvip, in the Golok section, or it may be in Vrindavan, depending on, you know.
There is discussion of this. It's mostly in the literature that I haven't read. That abundant literature which I haven't read. As far as I understand, one can do both. Because their spiritual world is unlimited, so the devotees are able to participate in Krishna Lila and Gaura Lila both. Therefore we read that such and such person in Gaura Lila is such and such person in Krishna Lila. And they're doing both things. Sarvata Samputo Dike.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, often devotees hear from senior devotees that it is very essential for brahmacharis to have intimate relationship with other brahmacharis. So I used to think about it, that even the relationships that we have are most often superficial. Either they are in the platform of intellect, or in the platform of mind, or there is some temperament match, so some kind of relation exists. But to have a soul-to-soul relationship, and to have complete trust and confidence in the other person, so that one can reveal one's heart freely. Such type of relationships, I used to wonder whether it can exist before one becomes a pure devotee. Can clarify this point, because jadapi prati grihnati guhima kati prachati. In the shloka we talk about developing relationships with devotees.
Well, it's like an invitation to, not a specific question, but so we hear brahmacharis should have intimate relationships with brahmacharis. Of course, everyone wants to have a relationship with someone. And for a brahmachari to have an intimate relationship with other brahmacharis is certainly preferable to the alternatives. the of course, everyone is individual, and it's not to be forced or artificially imposed. I'm a brahmacharya, I have to have intimate relationships with all the other brahmacharis, and like that. Someone is more outgoing, someone is more private, someone is more this way, that way. So it's not, you know, that we're going to chase over. Do you have intimate relationships with other brahmacharis? You don't? How many do you have intimate? We're not going to call out the police and see what's going on. But these things will naturally develop in devotional service. Actually, it's by service. Sometimes devotees complain, I don't have any relationship with anyone except, you know, in terms of service, with the implication that that's somehow superficial or institutional. But actually, our life is in terms of service. Our business in life is to serve, specifically to serve the spiritual master in Krishna. And therefore, our relationships are also in terms of that service. In fact, if something doesn't have a relationship, if some relationship has nothing to do with that service, usually we cut the relationship or we just formally maintain it, because we're not interested in being related to something which is not related to Krishna. And we're not interested in being related to people who are not engaged in a relationship with Krishna. And thus, by interacting with them, we can bring them into a relationship with Krishna, or somehow, unless some Krishna connection is there. So in brahmacharya life, or in Krishna conscious life, in any ashram, we form relationships, especially in terms of service. Even the relationship between husband and wife is supposed to be in terms of the relationship with Krishna. That is not simply a combination for sense enjoyment, but it's a combination for increasing service to Krishna. So similarly, the relationships among the brahmacharis are naturally in terms of service. And by serving together, we become close. Just like in, there's so many men who become very close to one another in the military, especially when they're on the front lines together. They become so close. Sometimes someone dies for the other man, gives his life for his companion. Or in so many ways, they, you know, they're down in the same ditch together, smoking the same cigarettes and fighting the same enemy. And they, you can't reproduce that. You know, so many business people, they have relationships. But that kind of a tight relationship that develops under fire and under hardship is very strong, and it's never forgotten. So how does that relationship develop? One is from, you know, Bihar, and the other is from Tamil Nadu, and one is from Kansas, and the other is from California. How have they become so close? Because they're serving the country together. Otherwise, they have nothing to do with one another. Maybe one is a high-class man, one is an ordinary man, one's a rich man, one's not so rich. But by serving the country together under those circumstances, they become very close. So the brahmacharis, or not only the brahmacharis, grihasthas, all the devotees, they become intimately connected by serving Krishna. So they go out on book distribution together, or they establish a temple together, or they serve the deities together, or they serve the spiritual master in some other way. So in so many ways, they're engaged in the service of Krishna. And while serving Krishna, they naturally become intimately related. And they reveal their minds to one another. They inquire from one another and speak to one another. And they also, they share prasadam. Some devotee is arranging for nice prasadam for another devotee. Or sometimes while serving, you know, we know that our other devotee is not getting prasadam. He's just serving and serving, so we arrange that he'll get prasadam. Or he'll arrange for us. And sometimes we give him something also and accept something from him. So, in service, these relationships come. And the more we increase our service and the more we serve together, the more intimately related we become. And when we'll have so many memories of how I served with this devotee, how I served with that devotee. And these become lifelong relationships. Even if there's some difficulty in his life or my life, that connection is there, that he helped me or I was able to help him or we both did something together. So these intimate relationships develop that way in connection with Krishna. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, in the continuation of this same question, I just wanted to
interaction among those two friends or four friends, and now independently they are doing their own, so there is a very less chance of coming together and serving together. So in this condition, how can we really interact with each other?
That's the world, not only in friendships among devotees, any friendship. It develops under certain circumstances, and then according to destiny, according to what happens in their lives, they may or may not go on in lifelong association with one another. Sometimes it's like that. My sister has some few friends. They went to kindergarten together, preschool, and still they're living nearby and they're always calling one another and seeing one another. Huh? Such friends since childhood. And others, you know, we were friends at a certain time and now we hardly get a chance to speak to one another. According to destiny, one gets married and moves here and another gets married and goes there, and another one's job takes him here, and another one gets in trouble and doing something. You know, so many things happen. Someone is killed, that one of my sister's friends again, one of those lifelong friends, got cancer and died. End of friendship. So these things happen. But still the friendly feeling will be there. I may or may not get, just like Krishna and Sudama Vipra. They went to school together. So they were school friends. And they served together in the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And even sometimes they went looking for firewood, and then there was a big storm, and they were lost in the woods, and they were shivering in the cold and the rain, and they were lost overnight, and their Guru Maharaj had to send someone, where are these boys? So they were so intimately connected. And then Krishna became a big king and went off to Dwarka, and Sudama Vipra was serving someplace south in Gujarat. He got married and he went off. So they didn't see one another. But then later, when Sudama's wife was saying, you know, you're such a pious Brahmin and you're so qualified, but you're starving. And isn't Krishna your friend? So why don't you go see him and do something, you know, get a little something to improve our situation. So then the Sudama Brahmin went to Dwarka. Actually, he wasn't after getting anything, but he thought it would be nice to see Krishna again. So he went to see Krishna, and he came into the palace with all, you know, the marble and the gold and the servants and everything. And as soon as Krishna saw him, Krishna at once embraced him. Although he was dressed, you know, in like a, it was probably gray, that grayish sort of cloth which comes when you only have one set. And he was not very, you know, he was poor. He was a poor Brahmin. And they were surprised that Krishna is embracing him. He doesn't embrace anyone, only Rukmini. And he's embracing this Brahmin, and then he's putting the Brahmin on his bed, and what's going on here? But it was because they were friends. And although the time, so much time had passed and circumstances were different, as soon as they saw one another, their friendly relationship at once was reactivated. So that may happen also, that devotees, one goes this way and one goes that way, and they may not be in touch with one another. But then when they see one another again, there's at once revival of friendly relationships. Even sometimes by being separated, they may become antagonists on the mental platform. This person's on the other side of something, this person's on the other side of something. But then when they meet again, those things become insignificant. Or if they simply remember that actually, what is this, you know, friends and enemies, we're friends. Why, what do we care about these superficial differences? Therefore, our Mayapur festival is very important. Or other such festivals, but especially Prabhupada began this Mayapur Vrindavan festival. The devotees from all over the world can come together and associate with one another. And these friendships get the opportunity for being perpetuated.
Maharaj, please tell some of your experience.
Not too general a question. Next question. I don't have any experience, what can I tell you?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, in continuation of this question which is going on about developing friendships, from what I heard about your answer, please tell me whether I'm right in my understanding that if we are not directly related with other devotees in their service, especially brahmacharis, since we are living in the ashram, then is it necessary for us to go out of our way to develop some friendly relationships with the other brahmacharis who are not directly related to our service, or who we may not be coming in contact throughout our day or our weekly services?
Well, the it's natural that there'll be, by Krishna's arrangement, it's natural that we're associated with other devotees. Maybe not with all the other devotees, but someone. Otherwise, if we're all by ourselves, nobody else, then we might ask ourselves that what kind of situation am I in that I have no friends, no associates, no anything, I'm just by myself. Then he might ask, you know, is this what the situation, is this helping me, is this what I want to do, is this right? Otherwise, it depends on the circumstances. In a little temple, generally everybody knows everybody, everybody's, you know, the same people have to do the accounts together and the deity offerings together and the puja together and the preaching together. You know, there's 4 or 5 men, maybe 10 men. So they're always with one another. And that's very nice, actually. These little temples where there's just a few people and they have to work, just like those devotees who started London. So So Balti and Shyam Sundar and Jamun and Gurudas and Mukunda and Janaki. So these six devotees, that was it, and seven, Saraswati. They started the whole thing. So they were a very tight group. No? And still there's friendly relationships among them. So because they had to do everything, there was nobody else. Nobody else. So they were serving as a very tight unit. So similarly, in smaller temples especially, it's often like that, just a small one or two couples or two devotees, four devotees. So then everybody's associated. Then you go to some big, big temple like Juhu or Los Angeles or Mayapur, and there's hundreds of devotees. And you may not even know the names of all those devotees. Yeah, when Mayapur becomes a city, you'll have to look in the phone book to find out who these people are. So then if we say, no, I have to be associated with all the devotees, or even all the brahmacharis, I think there must be a couple hundred brahmacharis in Mayapur. Or you may not even get to know them all. You may not even get to know their names. You may not even get to see them. So it's not, again, an artificial thing that somehow I have to make about, no, I have to learn, the name of every brahmachari and somehow become his friend and become intimate. They say, you'll go nuts. You already have enough to do. But some friends should be there. And also, it's, you know, sometimes we're naturally more friendly with someone we're not so close to. That's also natural. Not that everybody has the same chemistry with everybody. But we have the same interest, Krishna's service. And sometimes, therefore, out of affinity, we become associated with someone who's not particularly in our department. I'm in one department, he's in another department, but we have similar ways of seeing things, we have a similar nature, so we become friends that way. But that's also there. And sometimes the householders also become very good friends with brahmacharis. That's not illegal. The brahmacharis are a little careful not to mingle too much with the householders, because then they may also become attracted to the comforts of householder life. And then their brahmachari vows or their brahmachari life, they lose those advantages. So the brahmacharis may be a little careful, not in a mundane, sectarian group spirit, but just a little careful that I, while associating with my householder friends, I don't want to become too much associated with their comfort, with their opulence, with their wives, with their families, with all of that. But in devotee English, so we may have friends from every section. Is that okay? Naturally, there's a special friendship among the brahmacharis who are engaged in the same line of action. And among the grihasthas also, there's naturally special friendship among the grihasthas who are engaged in the same sort of duties. The grihasthas also need friends. Not that only brahmacharis need friends. In fact, it's very important that the grihasthas have friends, otherwise their only friends are their wives. And the wife is not always the best friend. She's supposed to be, and she may be, like a very friendly and helpful assistant, should also have friends, men. There were ladies also, they should also have their lady friends. That's very helpful. Therefore the old system, joint family system, is very good. In the Western way of doing things, everybody breaks off into a little unit, the mama bear and the papa bear and the baby bears. And then everything revolves around these two or four people. And pressure from that can become overwhelming. You know, what is she thinking? What is he thinking? And he did this, and what does it mean? And she did that, and what does that mean? And you're just, it becomes just too much. Whereas in the and they're always in touch with it. So whereas in the joint family system, so many people are there. The wife is there, the brother is there, his wife is there, the mother is there, the grandmother is there, cousins, and so many people are there. And therefore there's a big group of people, a big group of men and a big group of women. And the most of the time, the women associate with the women and the men associate with the men. So this intense pressure of association with the opposite sex is relieved. It's a pressure for a man or a pressure for a woman to be in that kind of association. It's very political, it's very psychologically effervescent. You know, it's always bubbling with something going on there. All sorts of energy comes into play there. So it's kind of a high tension, high pressure relationship. Whereas to associate with other men is easy, or to associate with other women is relatively easy. You don't have all of that stuff going on. So it's a great relief, actually, that the men can associate with other men. And in that way, they don't become preoccupied with sex life. They don't become preoccupied with family politics on the, you know, within that limited sphere. And they can make nice advancement materially and spiritually by that company. And they develop like those kind of intimate relationships with other men, with other women. Not that the only intimate relationship in my life is with my wife, with my husband, with my children. Those broader relationships create stability. They create little calm. They create some relief. They create a whole network of people that can help in different things, because there's some things that you don't want to discuss with your wife. You don't want to drag her into it, or you don't want to tell her, or you don't want to, you know, upset the delicate balance of the what's going on. So you need some other people. So if you have an intimate circle of people, then you can confide in them, or you can seek their advice, or you can, whatever the thing is that you don't want to disturb your wife with, you can go to somebody else and say, what should we do about this? So that association is very nice. Therefore, the system was that even in the house, they had two sections, the outer section and inner section. The inner section was for the ladies, outer section was for the men. The men would do their business and all meeting the, you know, customers or business associates or whatever it might be, and the ladies would be in charge of the domestic affairs. Sometimes even the system was quite common that a man would, some brothers would marry sisters, or one man would marry several sisters, so that among the ladies they not only friends but sisters, or among the men not only friends but brothers. So that was very common. Just like Vasudev, he married sisters, yes? Huh? Nine, how many? Seven, nine? They were all sisters. Similarly, the Sobari Muni, he wanted to get married, he approached the king, said, please, could I have your daughter? Yeah, you can have all seven, all nine. It's nine or nothing. So that was quite common, because sisters are naturally friends, supposed to be. So then they continue as servants of the same husband, or someone serving one brother, someone serving the other brother. arrangement. It's very nice. Very nice system. So apart from that, in the Grahastha community, for the Grahasthas to have friendships with other Grahasthas is very helpful. They're all devotees, they're all engaged in service. So for the Grahasthas to be associated with one another in devotional service is very good. And there should be so many social activities also. Because family life means so many social occasions, marriages and beginning of school and this and that, so many anniversaries and all those things. And the materialists are all busy with that. But for the devotees, these things were also all right. And they simply serve as excuses for chanting Hare Krishna. It's somebody's birthday or it's somebody's marriage, so chant Hare Krishna. And they come together, chant Hare Krishna, and have a good time, and take nice prasadam, and talk something Krishna katha. So these social occasions are also not to be stopped. They're simply to be purified by devotional service. Okay? Brahmachari's got something, Grahastha's got something.
Hare Krishna?
Yes.
It is said that Krishna don't know him completely. Means he don't know who had make him so beautiful. So actually, what does this mean that Krishna don't know him completely?
Of course, sometimes it's said that only Krishna knows himself completely. Swayam eva atmana atmanam janati purushottam, like that in Bhagavad Gita. On the 11th chapter, I think. Swayam eva atmana atmanam, that only you know yourself. But other times it's said that even Krishna doesn't know himself, because Krishna is unlimited. So as soon as he expands himself to know himself, he's expanded again. So there's something more than he knows. So in that way it's said. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In Krishna consciousness we associate with lots of devotees. And we may experience that some devotees are advancing faster than us. Then how to appreciate it without being envious of them?
Yes, that requires Krishna consciousness. Why should I be envious if someone's more advanced? How will that help me? It certainly doesn't help him and it doesn't help me. So rather than being envious, it would be better for me if I could be appreciative. So one has to hear that from the shastras or the sadhus or the spiritual master and actually try to act accordingly. Amanina amanadena. If someone's engaged more in the service of Krishna and giving Krishna more pleasure, why should I be envious? Rather, I should be happy Krishna's being more pleased. And rather than trying to hold back that devotee so that he doesn't get too far ahead of me, I should try to assist that devotee or glorify that devotee. Because Krishna's not going to be pleased by my envy, nor will I be pleased. Envy is another one of those things that scorches the heart. So why should I cause trouble to my heart by being envious? Better to be appreciative and cultivate that mood that will be pleasing more to me and pleasing more to Krishna. Krishna doesn't sit in a heart that's full of envy. Kama, krodha, tata, lobha, narakam, what is that? Trividam narakasyedam, dvaram nashanam atmanaha. Kama, krodha, tata, lobha, tasmare, tatrayam chidve. These are three doors to hell. Kam, krodh, so this is like krodh, this envy. Kam, krodh, lobh. Mother Moha, Matsarja, all these things should be given up. By appreciating, we give up envy. Prabhupada gave the example of envy. Anyway, by appreciating, we get it. Another question, or we reach the end? Yeah, Maji.
Haribol Maharaj, sometimes like you are telling this example of appreciation, like you are just saying we should appreciate. So sometimes we try to do it, but because we are not on a pure level, it sometimes becomes very mechanical that you are just appreciating a person, but you are not completely, may not be sometimes feeling like that.
It may be mechanical, but mechanical, that's devotional service. You start out mechanical and it becomes spontaneous. That's our method. Of course, for women to be friendly with one another is a little more difficult. Prabhupada noted it, that women have a tendency to pick up quarrels with one another. It's a natural, don't mind, but it's a natural tendency among women. And Prabhupada also mentioned it. That can be overcome by Krishna consciousness. It's conditioned life. A tendency to pick up quarrels. Men have their own problems also. But by Krishna consciousness, one transcends these material conditionings. But it may take a little bit more effort on the women's side because that tendency is a little bit there. So women should know it, that actually, due to our being women, we have this propensity a little bit for quarreling or picking, you know, having fallings out. So we have to work a little harder not to fall into this trap of Maya, but to remember Krishna and to act in a friendly way. And then also we have our conditioned life, so we have this tendency to be toward rivalry and competitiveness and arrogance and so on. And then friendship is more difficult. So we have to overcome all these conditional attitudes or contaminations. And then real friendship can be there. Suridam Sarvabhutana. Actually, in pure consciousness, a devotee is a friend to everyone, and everyone is a friend to him. In Bhagavad Gita, that's there. I forgot in Sanskrit. But he's a friend to everyone, everyone is a friend to him. Because he's gone beyond all of these things. Nirmatsuro Pujito, because he's not envious of it. Goshamis weren't envious of everyone. So they were friendly to everyone. Dhira dhira janapriya. The persons who were self-controlled, the persons who were not self-controlled, they saw these Goswamis are in another category altogether. They're not our rivals, they're not our competitors, they're not our ill-wishers. They're a separate kind of person altogether. Nirmatsara, they have no envy. So everyone was appreciating them. So this is a devotee, because he is always in Krishna consciousness. He's friendly toward everyone. And therefore people, naturally they're friendly toward him. If a person is arrogant toward everyone, mean toward him, then people are not so inclined to be friendly toward him, or let him be. But a person who's naturally friendly, people want to be his friend. And a person who's in relationship with Krishna on that spiritual platform is friendly toward everyone. And one of the qualities of a devotee is friendly, not unfriendly. here? Mike? Oh, but all right. Any other questions over there? Okay, go.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You're explaining that friendly relationship developed by serving together. So now while serving together, do we have to go out of our way to cultivate those relationships, or just by serving together, relationships will develop?
It will naturally come. Of course, you may consciously cultivate, that's natural. That I'd like to be more friendly with this person, or we're serving together, but I hardly know him. So naturally you'll think, let me do something so I can be more friendly with this person. So, but it's a natural thing. It's not artificial. Of course, sometimes a person, just a shy person, he doesn't talk to others very much. He doesn't have so many friends. So he may have to, you know, push himself a little bit then. All right, if I talk to him, probably he won't say anything bad to me. It'll be all right. You know, so we may have to do that. But apart from that, it's the sort of thing that naturally develops. And it'll naturally develop in different ways. Some kind of relationship, it's very, you know, some people, their friendship is like so visible, and other people it's more quiet, more less public, so on. So it may develop in different ways. Everyone's an individual, so not to be stereotyped. But these friendships will help us to be friends with devotees. We advise, don't mix extensively with non-devotees. But our tendency is to mix with someone. So then we should mix with devotees. Just like we say, don't eat the food cooked by outsiders. And then what? Don't eat? No, you need to eat the Krishna prasada. So they say man is a social animal. So for association, if we have this nice association, and then when I'm in difficulty or when I'm in feeling weakness or whatever, and I have my friends. Just like in swimming, they have, so very often there's a buddy system, you know, the two swimmers are together. And you always have to know where your buddy is, where that other person is. And if you don't see him, then something's wrong. So that way, because they're together, that by that friendship, they're protecting one another against Maya, against so many things. And nobody else can tell if he's having trouble. No one can say anything to him. The temple president can't say anything. The GBC can't say anything. Sannyasis can't say anything. But his friend may be able to say something. And, you know, I'm not political or motivated, but just as your friend, you know, this is the problem. So friend can be very helpful that way.
Hare Krishna. It is said that if a person is not getting enough, feeling that he's not getting enough love, that means he's not showing love to others. Now we see that
he's feeling he's not
getting love.
So he's not showing.
That means that actually he's not showing. That's why he's not getting. It is said like that. That's what we have heard from.
I don't know anything about it. I haven't read that in the books. Maybe it's psychological truth or something. If he's not feeling and he's not showing, I don't know. I don't have an opinion about it.
My question was basically that we see that senior devotees are very loving and caring about others. But we, in our neophytes, we don't feel like that. So should we artificially try to show love and care, or it's not required?
No, I already explained that by even mechanically acting in a friendly way, then the mechanical things become spontaneous. So that's natural in any human behavior. We emulate others. We find some example and we try to act like the person, like that person. So we should pick out good examples, devotees who are advanced, and we should emulate their behavior, but let me also behave like that. And some Prabhupada disciples, so many, they saw how Prabhupada was feeling, and they also started to follow Prabhupada's example. So we should pick out the examples of the advanced devotees, or from Chaitanya Charitamrita we see the behavior of ideal devotees. So we can try to follow that, and we know what the behavior of the materialist is, and we can try and not be like that. Like steering a ship, you chart your course toward the destination you want to go to. Do you want to be like this kind of person, or do you want to be like that kind of person? Therefore, acharya means who sets the example. And sets the example means other people will follow. Mamavart manavartan te manusha partasarvisha. What is that? Yadyaratriti shesha tattareve tarojana. Everyone's a follower. And even a guy who's, you know, self-made man and independent and doesn't listen to anybody, he's following somebody. You know, all these angry young men of the, you know, they're following other angry young men. All the rebels, you know, they're following some other rebel. And so everyone picks up some example and follows it. So in Krishna consciousness, we try to pick up the examples of those who are Krishna conscious and follow. Time? Shall we stop? Is that all right? There was one more question. Yeah. Last question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, sometimes we see a devotee is correcting us when we are at fault. So we understand then, but sometimes we see in near future the same devotee he is also up to the same mistake. We see him committing the...
Mm-hmm. He's also what?
He also commits the same mistake sometimes. So in what mood should we take that? Because previously he very staunchly corrected you. For your own benefit.
So take the correction. Now you see him doing the same thing, so it doesn't mean that you were right. So he corrected you, that was good for you. Now depending on your relationship, you may correct him also, if he's on the same level as you, then you may say, hey, you know, you corrected me for this, so I just saw you doing the same thing. So that's, you know, as they say, one good turn deserves another. He did a favor for you, you do the favor for him. But with seniors, we don't do that. Not usually. That you told me to do this, but now I see you're doing it. What's going on here? Who do you think you are? One may see it, but not, you know. Anyway, he corrected me. I deserve to be corrected. That's all right. Or if you think it's a problem for that senior person, then there's an etiquette. How to approach that person very humbly and privately and submissively and submit, you know, what your doubt is. Or else you may approach one of his intimates who can say something to him. You can't say to him, but he can say. The devotee's on an equal level. So you may find someone on an equal level and say, I saw that such and such devotee seems to be having this problem. He used to be so strong that he could even corrected me, and now I see he's doing the same thing. Maybe you can speak to him something. And these are the ways of dealing. Not that you log on and find an appropriate, you know, conference where you can tell the whole world that, you know, he said this to me, but now I saw him doing it. Ha ha. Ha, 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 ha Chaitanya Charitamrita is so nice because they didn't have email. All right. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveta bhakta bindi ki jai.